Good morning, Mr. Metzger. The place you are looking at is a bunker located in North Central Indiana. It is right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. Also nearby and out back is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. Your mission, Tom, should you decide to accept it, is to enter the bunker and broadcast an internet radio show on the Insurgent Radio Network. While broadcasting, you are to supply information to the listeners on the big website, resist.com. As always, should you or any of your insurgency force be caught or killed, Echo will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck, Tom.
Well, there it goes. There he goes. It burnt right up right here on my table, man. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker. It is February the 22nd, 2014, Saturday. It looks like we're going to have some sun today for a while at least. But I still got about 2 inches thick of ice on my whole parking lot. Went out there with a pickaxe and got some of it up. But it's not melting very fast because it got a little cool last night. And we still got giant mounds of snow all over the place. I don't know whether they're going to get any more or not, but that's your weather report for today, and you can look back on the radio shows a year from now and tell exactly what the weather is, because we give a little weather report every time we come on here. And don't forget to send your money, your donations, into Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, for the show and for other things, such as our contributions to the deserving POWs, and also I buy a lot of stamps because getting to be more and more inmates who are contacting me for racial information, I do demand that they come up with 5 stamps per month to get literature sent to them. And if they send in quite a bit more than that, well then I'll send them books. Sending books from the book company right to them. That's the best way to do it. And one of the best places I've found is ABE Books. There may be others that are just as good, but I sure like it better than Amazon, because I don't think I get too many good deals on Amazon and eBay and like that. Yeah, that's right. Well, I see they got the president over there in the Ukraine on the run. That's what we ought to do here. I'm all for that. Let's get Obama or whoever's in there, whenever they're in there. If they get out of line, let's run them out of the White House, and he's hiding out someplace, and we could get Obama to run back and hide out in Chicago, South Chicago. I don't know. A lot of those black people are pretty pissed off at Obama. I don't think he's not very popular. I mean, you know, they keep some of the middle class and the radio talk show black guys still try to talk him up. But most of the more radical left-wingers are just as mad at him as we are. Just remember, no matter how many black people are in this country, they're always going to be on the bottom, the majority, you know. Of course, the majority of the white people are on the bottom, too. But the point is that black people think they're going to vote some kind of a leader that's going to overdo what he should be doing for the corporations. He's going to obey those corporations above all things, because it takes tens of millions of dollars to run for office. You're not going to get that out of the ghetto. Now, I heard a real funny one the other night. I recorded it. It's from Rogue Progressive, and he gets some pretty good things on there, and he's really screwed on the race issue, but like I say, he's pretty good on a lot of other issues, but this was funny. For those of you who think that left-wing progressives never go after the Jews, let's listen to this one.
I'll get to that in a minute. Did you ever hear anything like the Jewish Taliban? That's like a contradiction of terms, right? Can't be. Taliban is Islamic. But in the Williamsburg section of New York, New York City, there's a group, the Satmar Hasidim, and they have what they call in their neighborhood a modesty patrol. And last week, they were out, the modesty patrol. What does this remind you? Does this remind you of Saudi Arabia? Doesn't this remind you of the Taliban in Afghanistan, right? The modesty patrol was out last Thursday putting up flyers on light posts and under windshield wipers calling for a boycott of a new shop in their neighborhood. Now, it's a woman's shop, merchant to be targeted by the Satmar Hasidic Modesty Patrol. What is going on in that neighborhood? A gang of overbearing religious scolds. I wouldn't call them scolds. I call them bigoted psychopaths. They're targeting Jewish store owners. Now, the Satmar, don't forget, they are a very strict and conservative sect of Judaism. But they are Jewish store owners who open shops in Williamsburg's Satmar Hasidic enclave, ordering them to comply with a shadowy but strict set of standards or face consequences. Said the modesty patrol struck again last Thursday. Women's clothing shop. What do you suppose the store's offense is? Boom, 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 boom. The offense is having big windows through which, if you're on the street, you can see women holding up dresses and picking through clothes. No, they're not getting undressed. They're not, you know, they're in a shop. They're in a store. They'll see something on a rack. They'll take it off the rack, hold it up, look at it. What do you think of this one? I don't know. What about, yeah, I don't like the color. That is what has these psychotic Satmar Hasidic Jewish men all excited. So excited. Now, a guy named Moshe Spira, he's the manager of Grill on Lee, a sandwich shop down the block from this new dress shop. That is not right. He says the man and the wife opened the shop to try to make a living. What's the big deal? Mr. Moshe Spira added, when we opened the store, when we opened this store, they put up flyers. They made a protest saying, don't eat here. We were the first fast food restaurant in the neighborhood. They were saying men and women can sit together and are on the line together. Oi! We just ignored them and they moved on. Now, the manager of the dress shop has declined to comment to the New York Daily News about being the Modesty Patrol's newest magnet for wrath. Community Affairs checked out the store last week, scouting for protesters who never showed up because the Satmar Hasidim called for a big-ass protest. And don't forget what the offense was. Their windows are too big. And people can see those dirty, filthy men holding up, oh my God, look at them! Women holding up dresses. Bad enough they want to go to the Wailing Wall and pray. Bad enough they want to sit in the front of the bus. But holding up dresses? I hate religion. I hate it. Now, members of this sect, they're called the Va'ad, I guess, the Modesty Patrol. They don't advertise. The leadership is unknown. The vigilantes, you know. During a recent sex abuse trial of a Satmar counselor, a guy named Nechemiah Weberman, prosecutors said he was affiliated with this group. Sex abuse trial organizes people to go out and protest because windows are too big and the scene. Look at them. Look at the dirty women. They're holding up dresses. God, I hate religion. Now, the influence of this group is unquestionable. Another merchant, Victor Klein, owner of on Bedford Avenue in this neighborhood, said, they came to me and they said they didn't like this, they didn't like that. Paid Victor Klein, owner of the ice cream house, a visit 1 month after he opened his two-story parlor, demanding that he put up signs telling customers how to dress. Will you come in here for ice cream? This is how you will dress. Man, I hate religion. So, Victor Klein, owner of the ice cream house, spoke to, and he's Jewish, he spoke to his lawyer asking how to follow their orders without being sued for discrimination should he ban clothes favored by the non-religious. Klein said, describing his dilemma, quote, you have to respect the community. I want people to send their children here. If people don't send their children here, I'm out of business. So the Jewish Taliban in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn, or is it Queens? The kind of intolerance that the Protestants, the Protestant Christians, the Catholic Christians, and the Muslims show. Isn't religion just ridiculous? Your windows are too big. We can see the dirty women. Well, when you walk by my windows, can you look maybe into the street? No, we have to look at the dirty women. And what do you want me to do? Small windows! Yeah, but then you'll come and peek in. Oi! The Williamsburg merchants' dress codes that are insisted upon by the Satmar Hasidim. At these dress codes by New York City's Commission on Human Rights. The Commission General Counsel said, quote, it's a new kind of discrimination case. There's a clash here between anti-discrimination laws and freedom of religion. If you have a business in New York, though, you have to treat everyone who walks in your door the same way, regardless. Now, watch the religious or the Jewish Taliban scream about that one. The same way that the Christians scream when anti-bullying laws are passed and the Christian fundamentalists go nuts, because then if they talk about the evils of those young homosexuals in high school, well, they could be, you know, charged with a hate crime. So their First Amendment rights are being denied them. We have a right to point out that these homosexual boys and girls are spawn of Satan. And the Jewish Taliban says, close your windows. Why? Because we can see the dirty women. Can you look the other way? No, they're still there. We know they're there. They're holding things up. We can see the skin of their hands, and it gets us sexually aroused. And we can't have that. We don't want to see the dirty women. Oh, my God. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. I love it. That's funnier than hell. I mean, it's amazing how crazy religion is. I mean, I had a dream one night where all the Bibles and all the Korans and all the Jewish books were burned up. And as the dream went on, things got quite peaceful. Not totally peaceful, but quite peaceful. It's unbelievable. And like Wyatt Kaldenberg said one time, he said, he was trying to sue to get the Bible off the shelves, because, or at least put it behind the lock and key, because it's pornographic, it's serial killing, it's incest, it's everything bad there is in the Holy Bible, and yet that's what Christians use as their handbook. So, oh boy, is it Oy vey, boy vey, it's boy vey. Well, let's see if we got anything in the news today that'll tickle our ears. Well, now we got another national event here that's going to sweep the nation and the world. Oxford, Mississippi. A noose was hung around the neck of a statue of a famous civil rights figure at the University of Mississippi. Well, if he was so famous, or she was so famous, where's the name? Alcohol and racial slurs were hurled at a black student as she walked near the campus. Another national story that will go around the world. These two recent racially charged, they're always racially charged, incidents have some wondering if the school affectionately called Ole Miss is still stuck in the old days. Some alumni say the incidents do not reflect the true character of their alma mater. They have many characters on their campus. In the meantime, the famous but incompetent is getting involved in one of the incidents and working 24 hours a day on this case. While major crime goes through the roof in this country, the FBI is tied down on a noose around the statue's neck. Special Agent Daniel McMullen on Friday said the Bureau, along with university police, like it should take more than the university police to investigate this, will expand the investigation to determine whether any federal laws were broken in the incident Sunday, when a noose and a flag bearing the Confederate symbol were found placed around the statue of James Meredith. That's who it was. Wasn't it James Meredith who later sort of recanted some of his positions and started courting the conservatives? I think it was. And an attorney for one of the three students sought for questioning in the statue incident. No, you're not wanted for questioning, you're wanted for persecution. Anyhow, the statue incident said Friday there is video evidence that absolves his client. You know, these are total jokes in a sane society, but in an insane society, this kind of stuff takes on monumental importance. I wonder how much money, tax money, they'll spend investigating this. Ken Coughlin said, according to law enforcement officials he spoke with, his client is not shown in a video recording of the incident, which occurred Sunday. But he has fled to Argentina because he heard that's where all the Nazis are at. No, he didn't do that. Quote, he did not touch the statue. He was not near the statue. He didn't have any involvement with putting anything on the statue, Coughlin said. What I can't understand is why they didn't just put the noose around the neck and behind a pickup truck and drag the son of a bitch out of town and dump it in the swamp. That would have been an intergalactical story. I'm extremely distressed and worried my client is being libeled by the university, the attorney said. They got some civil attorney onto this. What a quick way to make a buck. He's going to shake down the parents of this kid for several thousand. You wait and see. Coughlin said his client has been ruled out by the university and has no plans to talk to university police at this time. Well, of course you shouldn't talk to the police at any time. Well, you can say, hello, how are you? Nice day. How's your wife? We had a good time last night. I mean, Danny Blanton, director of the public relations for Ole Miss, said he is not aware of any video of the incident. His television set's broken. In a phone interview, Lee Tyner, now this, listen to me, boys and girls, this is an international story. It'll go around the world. Believe me, it will. It'll be all over the internet. This is not any fun and games. This is serious stuff. The general counsel for Ole Miss said those behind the act have been identified. Quote, we believe the three folks we've identified and provided information to prosecutors about were involved, unquote, in the desecration of the statue, he said. How is a rope around the neck of the statue desecrating it other than philosophically? The three 19-year-olds, oh my God, whose identities have been released by the police are from Georgia and are freshmen at Ole Miss, according to a statement from the university's chief of police, Calvin Sellers, who's probably black as the ace of spades. Sellers said university police had gathered enough evidence by late Wednesday to bring charges through the student judicial process against two of the students. And both state and federal authorities were working in close coordination. State and federal authorities in close coordination to determine whether criminal charges were applicable, the statement said. The students were set to appear for questioning and interrogation and to be hit in the head with a phone booth by the famous but incompetent with the police Thursday, but never showed up, according to the statement. Well, like I say, I guess they fled the country, realizing this was an earth-shaking event and of terrorist proportions. In another reported incident involving an Ole Miss student, senior Klesha Reeves reported to police that Monday someone threw alcohol at her from a moving car while shouting racial slurs. Reeves, who is a Negro, said she was still emotionally affected by what happened. She's probably never going to get over it. I think probably because she was fat and ugly is why they threw the beer at her. Police are investigating the incident, which occurred a few miles off campus at a residential complex that houses mostly Ole Miss students. Well, how do you know that these weren't young black men that threw this stuff at you? Anyhow, that's the way that goes. I've got a video of it here someplace. Let's see what this says here. Just a minute here. I'll see if I can bring it up.
So you can start writing the great American novel.
Getting another race-related incident near campus. A day after the noose was found, a black student at Ole Miss says someone threw alcohol at her from a moving car while yelling the N-word. Now, they don't know at this time if those two incidents are related, but our Nick Valencia is on the ground there in Oxford, Mississippi, with the student's first national interview. Nick, you spoke to Klesha Reeves, the young girl who was harassed. Tell us what you found out.
Erin, Klesha Reeves says she's doing okay considering what happened to her. When we spoke to her, she says she's heard of other black students here at Ole Miss that have encountered racism, but when it happened to her, she said she was shocked.
Oh,
she took us
my.
Back to the scene of the incident, and she told us what happened.
I was in my car looking for my charger.
Yes, she is a big fat pig.
And when I heard it, I kind of, popped my head up, and that's when he threw it. He just
what did
threw
you
it
hear?
Out of a red cup. It was you, black f***er. And it was pipe spit when he sped off into the down the street.
Do you think that there is a culture of intolerance still at Ole Miss? Because when you hear something like this happen, it immediately, some people aren't surprised. A lot of people aren't surprised that it happened at Ole Miss. What do you think?
I think that people are dealing with balancing the old Ole Miss with the new Ole Miss of what they're trying to become. They're balancing dealing with what their parents sent them to school here because that's the school they went to, and they're dealing with those history being disrupted or dismantled, and they really just are searching for that back. So they're dealing with change. Some people.
Now, Klesha Reeves says despite what happened to her, she's not having any plans of transferring. In fact, up until now, she says her experience at college has been very rewarding and very fulfilling, and she thinks the University of Mississippi is one of the best universities in the nation. Now, I spoke to the president here, the chancellor of the school, and we had a very honest and frank discussion, Erin, about the culture here and the climate on campus. And he says despite these incidents this past week, that's not indicative of what the current climate is here on campus. He acknowledges the history of intolerance here and how this university has been a lightning rod for race-related incidents over the last couple of decades. But he says that's not the way the university is now, and they've gone above and beyond in recent years to try to have an honest conversation to change things here.
Well, there you go. It's horrible. It's terrible. That was on CNN, but you know it's going to be on every network. And then it's going to be on all the Google services and everything around the world that somebody threw a beer can at a negress, that her picture was on my screen here. She weighs about 300 pounds. And I would imagine it was a young black man that thought she was pretty obese and threw a beer can at her. She didn't even say it was a white guy or a white woman or anything. So anyhow, but that'll be nationwide news. They took up, what, 3-4 minutes of the news with that? And the world's falling apart. Riots everywhere. We got unconventional warfare going on everywhere. I don't like to use the term terrorist because it's a nonsense word. But we got time for 4 or 5 minutes on prime time news about statues with nooses around their neck and fat Negro women getting beer tossed at them. Boy. And look at me. I'm wasting half a show on this crap. Well, here we go right into another one. Worldwide news report. Anne Frank books vandalized in Japan. Anne Frank's Diary of a Young Girl and scores of books about the young Holocaust victim have been vandalized in Tokyo public libraries since early this year. The damage was mostly in the form of dozens of ripped pages of the books. Librarians have counted at least 265 damaged books at 31 municipal libraries since the end of January. Well, it must be the Nazi Party in Japan that I met up with when I was over there. Yes, they do have a Nazi Party in Japan, or did when I was there. Japan and Nazi Germany were allies in World War II. You know, most young kids that go to school wouldn't even know that today. They don't know crap. And through Holocaust denial has occurred in Japan at times, the motive for damaging the Anne Frank books is unclear. Police are investigating. It's unclear. It's very clear to me. They're sick and tired of listening to the crap, which some of it is lies, not all of it, but your government dropped atomic bombs on Japan. Do you expect Japanese to worry about one Jewish girl that's hanging out in an attic in Holland? And all the crap that was played on the Japanese and all their being taken off to the camps here, you know. Chief Cabinet, well, when I was over there, they let me know very clearly what they thought of Jews, the people I ran into. They showed me a lot of pictures, too, of the heyday there in Japan when the streets were lined with swastika flags, as far as you could see. In Japan, in Tokyo, Chief Cabinet Secretary Yoshihide Suga called the vandalism shameful and said Japan would not tolerate such acts. Well, that's what everybody always says. And our prayers go out. Our prayers go out. The New York-based Anti-Defecation League, a civil wrongs group fighting for anti-Aryanism, praised Suga's remarks. Everybody just goes through the motion, boys and girls. The league's national director, Abraham the Fox, called for a full investigation and asked Japan's government to carefully consider if this act is of disrespect for the memory of the millions of Jewish victims who lost their lives in the Holocaust, requires a new look at educational initiatives regarding the Holocaust and anti-Jewism in Japan. He said that while there has been some history of journalistic and literary anti-Jewism in Japan, these kinds of incidents are in fact, quite rare. Well, I'll guarantee you there's all kinds of books, all kinds of anti-Jewish books, anti-Holocaust books, and so forth in the Japanese bookstores because I saw them. I know they've got Blood in the Face over there. Remember that book? They talked about me a little bit in that book. It was boldly on the shelf of the bookstores I went into. So Jews haven't made it near as much inroads in Japan as they have other places. But Foxman always wants to use that as an excuse to further indoctrinate and brainwash anybody he can, and maybe his people did. Maybe some Jew went in and tore the books up so they could cry foul and get some kind of consideration. Well, I've been informed before that there's some people over at Renegade Broadcasting have been attacking me quite a bit from time to time. I don't know what their problem is, and don't care. But somebody recently sent me a link to this comment, and it's very cleverly put together as to say, like, I'm a well-meaning guy, but I'm probably an agent, and this I did, and that I did, and this I did, and that I did. Evidently, I met this guy one time. Of course, the most interesting thing about these attacks that are put on blogs and websites is they never give their name. Now, I think it's only fair, and of course, I always use my own name, but I think it's only fair if you're going to attack someone, you come up above ground and use your own name. Because I'm not going to go through every one of these attacks that comes down the pike. My God, for 40 years, I've had certain people say nasty things about Terrible Tommy. But in every case, there's an answer for the attack. I'm not going to answer this, and it's too long to read to you on the air, and there's no use sending out because all this stuff has been tried before. And so anyhow, I don't know. I think, what's this, Mike Sledge or somebody up there? I don't know whether that's his deal or not. But I'm not going to worry about it because I know who I am. And if the feds are, if I'm on a federal payroll, the goddamn guys better start sending me checks. I ain't working for nothing. If anybody could find a endorsed check or something from the feds or SPLC that have assisted Tom Metzger in his wonderful life of leisure, I'd like to get some evidence and see that, because I didn't even know about it. But I guess this goes with the territory. It's been going on ever since I got into the minute you get your name up there to where anybody recognizes your name, they come out of the woodwork. If anybody knows who this fellow is that is putting this kind of stuff out, I'd just like to know their name, because then I could contact him personally and we can talk it over. Now, he couldn't have come from too far away from me, because he said that he attended this little meeting I had several years ago here in a hotel when I first got to Warsaw. And he was all miffed because National Geographic film crew was there, and I think Dennis Mahan was there too, and like that. But anyhow, he could have walked out the door. He didn't have to stick around, but evidently he stuck around, and so anyhow, I know he's probably within 100 miles. So if he don't tell me who he is, I'll find out. Of course, if I went chasing after everybody that tries to smear old Terrible Tommy, well, that's all I'd ever get done. It's funny, this particular attacker goes on for several paragraphs, but at the end paragraph he says, I do think Metzger is sincere in his beliefs, after he's called me a no-good bastard. However, based on what I have seen and experienced, he is either one of three things, or possibly all three. One, an unwitting or witting federal honeypot. This is the most likely scenario, in my opinion. Two, he is an attention-seeking exhibitionist who was legit before the SPLC sued him in the late 80s. No, it was the early 90s. And uses his radio club and documentary appearances to pay off the judgment against him. Well, that judgment was over years and years ago. And, you know, and I'm not going to go into how I conned those people either. But anyhow, some people are still putting it around that that judgment's still in force. Well, that's, of course, not true. Or three is an outright enemy agent. Then he puts in parentheses, not likely in my opinion. Thanks, Fred. Yeah. Why don't you go out and fight the Jews or somebody once in a while? You know? It's easy to attack people in your own struggle, in your own deal here. Well, let's see here. I think my mic is working okay here. Let's go on to more important things. Well, here's another I told you so. Volkswagen employees may have made a huge mistake when they rejected union membership on Friday. Huge? It was commit suicide type. Employees at Volkswagen's Chattanooga plant, wish we'd get rid of those Mongol names, voted against representation by the United Auto Workers, leaving the factory as the only Volkswagen plant in the world without a formal mechanism for worker representation. The German co-determination model mandates work councils, which connect employees to management at all large German companies. Yes, but that would negate profits over everything that's part and parcel of predatory capitalism, especially in the United States. Following the union vote, the head of Volkswagen's work council told German newspaper Süddeutsche Zeitung that the automaker would hesitate to expand in the U.S. South. There you go, right to work, boys. There you go. Quote, I can imagine fairly well that another Volkswagen factory in the United States, provided that one more should still be set up there, does not necessarily have to be assigned to the South again, said Works Council leader Bernd Osterloh. Quote, if co-determination isn't guaranteed in the first place, we as workers will hardly be able to vote in favor, unquote, of building another plant in the right to work south, Osterloh added. Osterloh's characterization of the union vote as jeopardizing potential growth at the Tennessee plant and across the South contrasts with what Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee, was lying about before the balloting. Corker suggested a vote in favor of unionization would hinder Volkswagen's growth. So, another Republican liar. Quote, I have had conversations today, and based on those, I'm assured that should the workers vote against the UAW, Volkswagen will announce in the coming weeks that it will manufacture its new midsize SUV here in Chattanooga, Corker said last week. Corker lied again. Republican Party. Osterloh blamed conservative lawmakers for possibly influencing the vote by misleading Volkswagen employees. Quote, the conservatives stirred up massive anti-union sentiments, Osterloh said. It's possible that the conclusion will be drawn that this interference amounted to unfair labor practice, unquote. Well, do you think anything's going to happen about it? Hell no. So, like I tell the boys that I talk to, these working class guys, I mean, you guys went for right to work. You pushed right to work. You went along. Most of you went along with it because you hate those unions. But look what happens. You see, now Volkswagen's probably not going to build another plant in Dixie. So, you deserve whatever you permit.
Passed in the Arizona State Senate that would give businesses the right to reject service to a customer because of religious beliefs. Senate Bill 1062 explains, exercise of religion means the practice of observance of religion, including the ability to act or refuse to act in a manner substantially motivated by the religious belief. Now, state Democrats have been fighting this measure, and they've called it legal discrimination against the LGBT community, and they've even sponsored 8 amendments to obstruct Bill 1062. So, Arthur, you know, we heard about a very similar bill passing in Kansas. Seems like this is a way for states to try to retaliate against recent federal rulings, but can stuff like this actually stand?
You're right. They're retaliating against federal rulings and the government recognizing same-sex marriage for tax purposes. In Arizona, there was a Supreme Court decision there citing against a wedding photographer who had refused to photograph a gay wedding. And so that's the local aspect of this Arizona situation. And the debate is really theoretical, with Democrats saying, well, this law would allow anyone to just refuse service to people for being gay, like not seating them at restaurants, for example. And that sounds like Jim Crow. And of course, the proponents of this law say, no, it's nothing about that. It's all about protecting religious liberty. And these theoretical scenarios are not valid, but it's sort of difficult to evaluate. They're not talking about a narrower reading of the state Supreme Court's decisions that went against this wedding photographer. And it is, of course, awkward to think about, say, forcing a small business to take pictures of something. You know, don't businesses typically have a little discretion in which clients they want to take? So I don't know if it has a chance of standing a legal challenge, but it seems like that is likely, and it, you know, there will be an injunction, and we won't find out what would actually happen.
Well, they could use this against the World Church of the Creator, or they could use it against any of us, any people, especially any people that belong to an organization. That if you had a T-shirt on that represented something they didn't like, they could legally keep you out of a restaurant or a bar or anything else. So I'm very reticent to go along with anything that the Christians come up with for the various reasons they come up with it. I always feel like I'm being used. This whole thing about marriages and homosexual marriages and all that is just a distraction anyhow, as far as I'm concerned, because the whole idea of the state-controlled marriage thing, to me, is nonsense in the first place. So you should be able to just go to a church, if you're into churches, and get a pastor or priest to sign a document that you got married in his church or her church. Or go to your attorney, if you're not religious or you're atheist or free thinker, whatever, get your attorney to fill out a contract that you're married. There shouldn't be any state involved. You see, this is where we slip up. They get you arguing for the state. You know, the state shouldn't allow this, state shouldn't allow that. Well, the state shouldn't even be involved in most things. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we should be involved in keeping the state out of it as much as possible. And I think marriage is a good place to start. That's my opinion. And I'm going to keep it. Well, the KKK still serves a purpose. Unfortunately, it's not the same kind of purpose that it was set out to be. The people who are still farting around with the Klan are, in most cases, helping the system fight racial separation. This comes from New Smyrna Beach. Not quite sure where that's at. Maybe Florida, I don't know. When the Ku Klux Klan dumped flyers in November on the lawns of residents in the city's predominantly Negro West Side neighborhood, they could have simply been thrown away and forgotten, said Lorenzo Laws. Quote, but we said no, the community deserved more, and the city deserved more, unquote, said Laws, pastor of the AME Allen Chapel Church, which along with 50 cents should get you a cup of coffee. When people going to learn ministers have about a, should have about as much authority or less authority than the average garbage man. In fact, I have more respect for garbage men than preachers. A lot more. Just after he held up and crumpled one of those flyers Thursday night in which a part depicts a hooded Klansman. Quote, we all deserve more. And you'll get it, too, because you'll use these kind of methods to do it. And the Klan falls right into your trap. Instead, the incident sparked a forum held Thursday at the church that brought officials from the U.S. Department of Justice's Community Relations Service, the FBI, New Smyrna Beach, Volusia County, and U.S. Attorney's Office together to educate the community as to what constitutes a hate crime. The pews were mostly filled with residents. Imagine how much money that cost the taxpayers to ship all these stupid feds down there to speak to these Negroes. Just to make a news thing they could put all over the world. Negroes fight back. Government loves Negroes and they're going to help us. Quote, if you look at anything that is good that came out of that, it's this, unquote, said New Smyrna Beach Police Chief George Markert. Quote, it's this meeting, it's this discussion, unquote. While officials from each agency spoke about the role their agencies play in investigating hate crimes and offer suggestions on whether people can turn to report such incidents, some of the discussion turned back to the flyers that were left in the historic West Side community. I call it the hysterical West Side community. The flyers discovered on November 11th by several residents also contained the words, quote, our race is our nation, loyal white knights, and a phone number to call. No threats or personal messages were found with the four flyers handed over to the police, and each was found inside a plastic bag held down by a fish weight, according to a police report. That's a hell of a waste of fish weights. The flyers were also dumped in other, they were delivered in other Central Florida communities late last year, including Mims and Rockledge. Well, there you go. The Klan has degenerated into high school dropouts. Not that all high school dropouts are stupid, but the odds are, most are, or especially when they try to lead a political racial group and play right into the hands of the United States Justice Department and FBI so they can get overtime and come out there and talk to these Negroes and we're going to protect you, boy. We're screwing you every other way, but we're going to protect you from these 12 guys or these three guys that is putting this literature around. We're going to protect you from them, man. And meanwhile, we're going to get paid a hell of a lot of money. I'll buy that new Lexus pretty soon. Yeah. Oh, man. The crap's so high, you got to have wings to stay above it, as they say. You know, and nothing ever really comes out of these forums. It's just a place where people go to bitch. And then they go home. And then they go back to sleep. Before they go back to sleep, they drink a bottle of Ripple wine. Well, here we go again about Hollywood Nazism. Dateline Detroit. The National Socialist Movement is the largest neo-Nazi group in the United States. They display swastikas in their rallies and marches. The NSM lists its headquarters as P.O. Box inside the post office at Detroit's East Side. Its leader, 40-year-old Jeff Shope, lives in East Point. Shope, who goes by the title Commander, leads about 55 chapters of the NSM. And as we used to say back in the old days, that meant they possibly have 55 P.O. boxes around the country where two or three people, or maybe one, check the mail. And it was back in the day, it was rumored among the veteran NS guys that the way they picked the leader was the guy that had the longest legs that could run to the P.O. box and get the contributions and donations the fastest was the leader. That's a true statement from a full-blood National Socialist guy, one that saved Rockwell's ass many times. It's not hate or racism to speak on pro-white terms, said Shope. Of course it is. Why do you talk like that? That's ridiculous. You know, there's no wonder that racial separatists get no respect because of statements like that that you're putting out all around the country. Jeffy, you know better than that. Let's see. Do you approve of race mixing? Asked Heather Catallo from our sister station WXYZ. Well, let me see what he says about that. Absolutely not. Well, Bing, you win the brass ring there. Why not? Asked Catallo. Race mixing, in my mind, is the destruction of all cultures, said Shope. But T.T. says, especially the white culture. It is wrong on every level. First of all, America is based on immigrants. This is a country of immigrants, said Anti-Defamation League Regional Director Heidi Boudwatch. They, neo-Nazi groups, would like other races to go away. Many of them believe that the American citizenship should only be afforded to white people. White people excluding homosexuals and non-Christians. Well, if you'll read the original Constitution, I think that's what it said, Heidi. Reread it. It was a white man's country by statute, almost. Boudia sounds like an Indian woman now is running the regional ADL outfit up there. Or wherever. There are actually very, very few steps between embracing that ideology, acting on that ideology, turning to violence with that ideology. That's true. It can actually, in the end, lead to genocide. Yeah. Or, in reverse, genocide against white people. Because violence is surely used against us in many ways. Back in 2005, the National Socialist Movement clashed with demonstrators in Toledo, Ohio, inciting riots. The government doesn't care about that. In fact, they're glad you do, because they use that as more way of spreading fear among the people. Experts say neo-Nazi groups like the NSM often believe in many of the ideas that Adolf Hitler spread through Europe in the 30s and 40s. Well, a lot of those ideas were correct. Some of them weren't very correct, including the claim that Jews are a subhuman race and the Aryan race must stay apart. Well, they're not a race at all. I mean, they can be of a non-white race or even the white race and be Jews. They can be of the Jewish conspiracy. Are you an anti-Semite? Catallo asked. Okay. Define anti-Semite, said Shope. Do you dislike Jewish people, asked Catallo. I believe in the national self-determination of all peoples, that all people have the right to exist and that the right of their own homelands and things of that in the future, said Shope. Well, you didn't answer the question, Jeff. She said, do you dislike Jewish people? The NSM may be the biggest neo-Nazi group in Michigan, but it's not the only one. The American Nazi Party is headquarters in the all-American city of Westland, calling themselves a political education association, the ANP led by Rocky Saheda, who I've known for at least 25, 30 years. But you don't talk to me no more. But both Anti-Defamation League and National Socialist Movement leadership say Saheda's group is dwindling and largely inactive, one of the few things those groups likely agree on. Despite our visits and phone calls and emails, Saheda would not discuss the American Nazi Party. While many disagree with his views, Saheda seems to live a quiet life in Westland. Neither the police department or the mayor knew he was there. It's despicable that we have these sorts of views going on, but they're certainly protected under the First Amendment, said Eastern Michigan University professor Jack Kay, who once infiltrated the Aryan Nations. Quote, I'm most fearful of getting to this leaderless resistance, lone wolf mentality, where they teach individuals to go out and do something. Wait a minute. Let's read that again. I'm most fearful of it getting to this leaderless resistance, lone wolf mentality, where they teach individuals to go out and do something. So, go out and do something, you guys. Okay. Oh, man. Well, at least they're right about that. Any lone wolf, any individual, any private contractor is far more dangerous than a group. Yeah, because an individual can turn on a dime from a Mr. Nice Guy to Mr. Not-So-Nice Guy. And I like him thinking that. I like it. Well, the interviewer asked Jeff Shope why he moved to Detroit. Experts, color them, well, whatever. Experts say that NSM is headquartered here because Jeff Shope moved from Minnesota to marry a Michigan woman several years ago. He refuses to comment on that. Well, there's some funny rumors around about that, but I'm not going to go into it because I don't have time to play their silly little word games. Followers don't know. Well, maybe they ought to find out. Well, you know Glenn Pecker, don't you? Sure, you know Glenn Pecker. He's got the Blaze, man, where he cries over the poor Jews in Israel and how we got to empty all our armaments out and give them to Israel. If you've ever heard him on the air slobbering and going on about the Jews, it's enough to gag a maggot. But let's look at this. This is something he put out, you see. You know, there's still people that think they're racial, that think Glenn Pecker and some of these guys in the right wing that have radio shows are really okay. They hate our guts, man. They hate your guts. Remember Anders Breivik, the Norwegian man who carried out terror attacks, including the bombing of an Oslo government building? Well, that's a minor indiscretion as far as I'm concerned. Whoa, don't put that, don't quote me, FBI. And mass shooting at a workers' youth league camp, killing 77 people and injuring 319 more in July 2011. That just shows you how defenseless most people are all the time. And I'll bet you none of those 1,019 people had a gun. Not one of them. The most recent significant press on Breivik dealt with the fact that he threatened a hunger strike from his comfortable prison cell, demanding, among other things, a PlayStation 3. Well, hell yes. Every prisoner should have a PlayStation 3. Much more important, the universally overlooked, was the news that came to light last month. Breivik released a letter to the international media indicating that he had intentionally portrayed himself as a counter-jihadist and Zionist in order to trick the media into attacking these very people and to cover up his true allegiance to Nordicists and ethnocentric nationalists. Wow. In contrast with the heavily covered PlayStation 3 letter, this prior one received little to no coverage in the American press beyond Wall Street Journal article focusing on Breivik's alleged allegations of inhumane prison conditions. The journals only mention at all the information even tangentially related to Breivik's true motives came in the last line of their report. Quote, Mr. Breivik, in his letter, said the manifesto shouldn't be taken seriously because it was a cut-and-paste job from other authors and didn't necessarily reflect his intentions. Only one organization that received Breivik's letter, the Swedish Expo Foundation, an allegedly leftist organization that claims its purpose is to challenge intolerance, stated anything substantive about the ideological portions of the Breivik letter. In an article dated January 10, 2014, Expo noted that Breivik indicated he was using counter-jihadist rhetoric to protect ethno-nationalists and instead launch a media drive against the counter-jihadists, employing a tactic of dual psychology, claiming he sought pure Nordic ideals and noting that his affinity for Israel only consisted of viewing it as a place to deport disloyal Jews. Well, there you go. That's he's one of them, one of somebody's. Let's see here. Let me see here. What else we got? Well, I'm not going to spend too much more. The proprietors of the blog Gates of Vienna followed up on the Expo article, did the yeoman's work of actually to obtain and analyze Breivik's prior letter, leading to the aforementioned astounding but ignored revelations in the letter Breivik stated. Okay, let's see what he stated here. I think I read it before. When dealing with media psychopaths, a good way to counter their tactics is to use double or dual psychology. Well, I agree with that. Or at least so I thought. The compendium was, among other things, a circulated and quite cynical gateway design approach, whatever that means, created to strengthen the ethnocentrist wing of the contra-jihad movement. Boy, they're using bigger words all the time. By pinning the whole thing on the anti-ethnocentric wing, while at the same time protecting and strengthening the ethnocentrist factions, the idea was to manipulate the MSM and others so they would launch a witch hunt and send their media rape squads against our opponents. It worked quite well, unquote. Well, anyhow, that's it from Mr. Breivik. Mr. Breivik. Oh, no, here's a little more. Quote, I could have easily avoided excessive pathologization. That's about a foot long, man. By keeping the message short and by clinging to the already established ideological cliff of National Socialism. It is important to remember that this was at a time when all right-wing radicals were labeled as Nazis, unquote. But if they had been allowed to label me as a Nazi, the ideological considerations and discussions would be over, and my court speeches and propaganda performance would never be broadcasted worldwide during the trial. On the topic of Zionism, Breivik said, I know a lot of people will be disappointed when they read this, but my love for Israel is limited to its future function as a deportation port for disloyal Jews. As a brief aside, interestingly, one of those most cited in Breivik's manifesto, Daniel Pipes, had hypothesized that this was all Breivik's true intent back in June 2012. There you go. Well, see, I told people way back he was really an NS boy. They said, no, no, he's not. Of course, I always question the logic of killing 70-some people and injuring 300 more that were almost with no power whatsoever, and would change really nothing except he would go to jail and be there for many, many decades. So if Breivik was truly a revolutionary, which he evidently was not, he was aiming his guns in the wrong direction and at the wrong people. Why do guys go out and kill working class people? I mean, you disagree with them. Yeah, I disagree with a lot of other people in the working class, but I don't think it's going to further the struggle by wasting them. Well, that's it for Saturn's Day. I'll be back with you on Moon's Day. Yeah. So over the weekend, be careful out there. It's still some bad roads around, and maybe more bad weather coming in, so be careful. 14.5, and what do I say? Bye-bye.
Metzger here in the bunker.
Knows.